How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed? You want to protect your children, right? You want to protect them for as long as you can. I remember I grew up in the Vietnam era. When I was a tender youth, this was when I was a preteen, there was a terrible, terrible war going on overseas. And many of the people that I thought of as grown-ups, they were really, a lot of them just teenagers, were over there fighting it. I didn't really have any consciousness of that except for the POW wrist bracelets. But I couldn't have told you what was going on over there. And probably better that I couldn't have told you, even though it was being put on television. I imagine that my parents probably just turned the TV off a lot to protect us from scenes of violence and having to answer very, very difficult questions with answers that are difficult to explain to young children. What about the police killings that we are seeing so often now in our country? What if the kids ask about that? Joining us to answer that question, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creators of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled How to Explain Cop Killers to Kids. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
This isn't just a theory or a theoretical conversation for you. You have actually a story to tell in this vein, don't you?
Well, sort of a story to tell. It's a friend of mine who I know a little bit, and her husband is a police officer, and they have a number of kids. And she has a young daughter who's in school with my son, and just came to her mom one day and asked, "Why do bad men want to kill my dad?" And she was, as you can imagine, at a loss of words for how to kind of try to explain this to her daughter. And so my article was kind of basically me explaining how it is that I would tell that how I would explain this to that sweet little red-haired girl, and as well as how to explain kind of this concept to my own children.
Why can you not just kind of take a pass on a question like that when it comes up?
Well, it's a little bit different, obviously, than when if you're dealing with these things kind of more abstractly or that are more removed from your own family. So if it's, why are those people, way over in that country over there dying, or what's going on there? But obviously, when she knows that men who have the same job that her father has and men who are just trying to go out there and protect people, she doesn't understand why on earth anyone would ever want to harm them. And I think there comes a, when it's that close and when she's obviously needing a sense of comfort, it's important to be able to speak a clear answer for the sake of her being simply at peace.
You mentioned peace there, and you say first part of that answer is to explain that everybody in the world has a need to be at peace with God. Why begin there?
Well, the reality of every problem in life is every manifestation of evil is everything is a struggle over the doctrine of justification, how it is that we are saved, how it is that we come to be at peace with God. And I think the simple reality of this is that when people don't know the answer to that, when they don't believe what the scriptures teach, when they don't believe that the blood of Jesus has atoned for our sins and that we have been declared righteous and holy in the eyes of God through faith in Christ who died for us, when people don't understand that, when they reject that, they start trying to implement systems to win that love of God for themselves. And whenever we start doing that, the devil always has a great opportunity to convince us to do things that are just in and of themselves manifestly evil. And so when people are struggling with mental illness, when people are struggling with a number of other factors in their lives, And when they're trying to find some sense of peace with God and trying to prove that they are worthy of his love, there's no depth that men have shown they won't sink to in order to win that love.
You also have to talk about, as you say, kind of the brokenness of not just the world around us, but of each and every one of us. How do you explain that? You're explaining sin to a little sinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I think really the challenge is to speak about this in a simple way. But ultimately, the Bible does give us really simple language to use. So it's not terribly difficult for a child to understand the concept of sin, and it's not terribly difficult for a child to understand the concept of forgiveness, and likewise the concept of love. And what does it mean to be at peace with your father? What does it mean for your father to love you? So really, I think it's just a matter of kind of taking those simple concepts and applying them to the right. In the right formula and with the right people in the equation, so that you're basically just saying to them, we all have something inside of us that makes us want to do bad things, and what stops us from wanting to do those bad things is hearing that Jesus has taken those sins away. And when we don't hear that, we start making up our own answers as far as what do we do with the bad things that we've done, and how is it that we make ourselves good people, and how do we make our God love us? And so when you find yourself in that position where you're not letting God give you the answers, you'll start flailing and thrashing about to accomplish them yourself.
Now, we're really talking here when you talk about the killing of police officers. Some of the depravity that we don't want our kids to know about, but then if they know about it, it has to be explained. Does it help to give a few more details? Like you say, maybe start by saying, look, sometimes when people grow up with parents that are just terrible parents, they begin to believe the devil's lies. They begin to act on them with impunity. They become angry people, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I mean, obviously, you know, most people don't go from functional citizens and to just horrific evil overnight. There's usually a bit of a transition there, and generally, the first step in that is you know, contrary to what the scriptures say, believing that the anger of man can produce the righteousness that God requires. And so, as soon as people begin to believe that by being angry at people that they can somehow make God happy and that they can earn God's love by hating people, that's really the only switch you need to flip, that the devil needs to flip in our hearts, because once that switch is flipped, anything becomes an option. Once you get to the point where you believe that when you don't believe that the blood of Christ is sufficient, not all people will go there. So most people in the world aren't Christians, but most people don't murder. But the point simply is that, especially for those who have been primed by various circumstances in their lives, whether it's poor upbringing or mental health issues or things of that nature, what happens is the second that switch is flipped, and the second they believe that the blood of Jesus isn't good enough for them and that God needs something else to make them, to view them as holy, very often they will convince themselves that by shedding the blood of someone else, that they can accomplish that holiness.
This is going to frighten the children. What's the comfort that we offer our children when they realize for the first time, perhaps, that they're living in a terrible world full of terrible people? And that deep in the dark recesses of our natural minds and hearts, we're not that much better.
Yeah, I mean, there are I think sort of two ways you can always go about this. I mean, the first is, it's a little bit like if someone's afraid of flying, you know, and you can just give them the statistics, and you recognize, well, sure, there's a threat of crashing or whatever it may be, but the percentage of that is very small. So on the one hand, you can, you know, if you have children who are worried about things like this, you can say, well, look, as frightening as this is and as terrible as this is, it doesn't really happen all that often. And sometimes it seems like it happens more often because people talk about it every time. They don't talk about the countless times when men go home safely to their families at night. But that doesn't ultimately offer the real comfort. And the real comfort that you want them to have is in knowing that that their Father in heaven loves them and is watching out for them and is caring for them and listens to their prayers when they ask him to send his holy angels to watch over us. And ultimately, that where we go from there is recognizing that this devil who is inspiring all of this hatred has already been defeated. Christ has already crushed his head at the cross. Christ is already victorious over him through the empty tomb. So you point your children to the baptismal font and the promise that they'll never need to believe the lies of the devil, when the devil tells them that the blood of Jesus isn't good enough for them, because there in the waters of your baptism you have the promise that God has given you has already given you everything He requires of you to be His child. So you read your Bibles to them and you read to them this word of peace that Christ speaks to them through every page of the Scriptures. And which is the only thing that's really going to take away the anger that Satan has used to corrupt so many people. So these are the things you do. You just simply raise your children in the faith. You raise them to know what the forgiveness of sins means. You raise them to know what it means to trust that their Father is going to provide for them in their daily lives. And you raise them to know and to believe that Christ is sufficient, that he has given his Father everything he needed in order for us to have eternal life with him.
Hans, you got three boys. I've seen a Facebook picture of two of them, one dressed as a pastor, really cute, and the other one dressed as a police officer. It's Halloween or something.
Right, yeah.
Does he want to be a cop?
I think towards the end of the school year, and it was, they got to keep these kids from going feral on them at the end of the school year, so they let them dress up as stuff. And so it was dress as your future career day. And so my son John, one of his options is that he wants to be a pastor, and my son Gus wants to be a police officer when he grows up. I think primarily for the canine dog, or for the police dog. That's probably the main selling point for him. So we've got both the kingdom of the right and the kingdom of the left so far in the career plans of two of my boys.
Just frankly, with about 30 seconds here, does that worry you, thinking, you know, my son might carry through on that desire to grow up and become a law enforcement officer?
I don't know that it worries me any more than my son, my older son growing up to be a pastor. So the devil is working certainly against both kingdoms. Ultimately, his goal is to tear apart the church and the kingdom of the right. It certainly it would be a frightening thing. You know, when you're going off into dangerous work like that, that there's always a fear that parents would have. But ultimately, in these things, you trust that this is a godly vocation and that God has given this, and it's an honorable vocation. And you trust, and you just simply get on your knees and you pray every day that God would send his holy angels to watch over him and keep him safe and bless their work.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled How to Explain Cop Killers to Kids. You'll find a link to it and to Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thanks.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Clark Forsythe of Americans United for Life talking about abortion legislation at the state level after the Supreme Court's recent Hellerstad decision.
C.F.W. Walther says, Thesis 1 in his book, Long Gospel, the doctrinal contents of the entire Holy Scriptures, both of Old and New Testament, are made up of two doctrines differing fundamentally from each other, that is, the law and the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Any passage, yea, any historical fact recorded in Scripture can be classified as belonging either to the law or the gospel. That is to say, if we really understand what law and gospel is, we'll find We're not forcing some kind of template over the Bible. We're just speaking the way the Bible actually speaks.
You can listen to Dr. Fikencher's presentation, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching, on an audio DVD from the 2016 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.